Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show in 15 minutes, should Bryce Harper be settling on a short-term deal from a team like the San Francisco Giants, instead of fishing for a long-term deal out there on the open market that seems like they are few and far between. And then a big moment coming up later on in the hour, Alliance Primetime. We'll give you the highlights of week one of the Alliance of American Football combined with old-school NFL primetime music where Bogish will play Berman, as in Chris, not Jay. And Merez will play Tom Jackson. What an exciting day here on the DA Show. We'll have Jared Greenberg join us a little over an hour from now from NBA TV on what the addition of Tobias Harris means for the Philadelphia 76ers, what is going on with the Boston Celtics, and the playoff picture as we head towards NBA All-Star Weekend. But a football news story that is notable following the Super Bowl. Julian Edelman telling Peter King of Football Morning in America, quote, people don't know what happened on his PED suspension where he was suspended for the first month of the season. Quote, people don't know what happened. I can't sit here and, due to the league rules, say what happened. When asked whether the suspension was unjust, Edelman said, quote, I'm not going to go down that road. I served what I had to serve. I accept that. I know a lot of people were disappointed in me for it. I apologize. It'll never happen again. Aw, it's nice. He apologized. It'll never happen again. I promise, Mom. I promise, Dad. I'll never steal the car ever again and go out on a Saturday night. I know you were really disappointed in me. I'm just so sorry. What's interesting here is that I hate to break it to you, except Julian Edelman is lying. Kind of like cheating, but, you know, kind of like taking a banned substance, but, you know, kind of like being a Super Bowl MVP where most people ignore that he was a cheater this season. But, you know, just what happens. I'm just so sorry. Julian Edelman is lying because he can talk about his PED suspension. League rules do not prohibit him from saying what happened. Let's go to Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com. Quote, the confidentiality provision of the PED policy protects the player. If the player, though, chooses to waive his confidentiality rights, he can. If he wants to talk about the circumstances leading to the positive test, he's entitled to. More from Florio. Players could claim whatever they wanted to claim in past years, and the league could say nothing. Now, if the player offers a BS excuse or explanation for a positive PED test with new rules, the league has the right to call BS on it. Here, the BS comes from the basis for Edelman's refusal to talk. Technically, the league could call BS on that if it wants. In other words, the NFL could say, no, we're willing to open up all the evidence that we have for what he tested positive for, as long as he is willing to go down that road. He's allowed to talk about it. Go ahead, Julian, talk about it. But as Pro Football Talk points out, the league will likely say nothing because they don't want to go down the road of tarnishing a Super Bowl MVP by making a statement suggesting that Julian Edelman is incorrect in publicly saying he's not allowed to discuss it. So what's the play here for Edelman? The play is he can't talk about it because he cheated. He can't talk about it because he tested positive. He can't talk about it because he's on the TB12 method, and everybody knows you've got to keep the TB12 method close to the vest. Don't talk about it. The first rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club. The Patriots don't want their players on it. The Patriots apparently are grumbling and grousing that because Gronk was on it, he was more injury prone this year. Edelman was on it coming back from an ACL tear and suddenly got popped positive on a PED test. Patriots don't want you talking about it. So Edelman is not going to talk about it. But he's lying when he says he's not allowed to talk about it. He's allowed to, but this is a convenient lie. Kind of like the convenient lie that the Patriots had no idea Aaron Hernandez was such a bad guy. Oh my God, where did this come from? Oh, you mean all of the reports in college that lots of teams passed on him and wrote him off of their draft board because he was such a bad guy? Oh, you mean Belichick being super close with his head coach in college, being Urban Meyer, and knew exactly what type of guy he was getting from Aaron Hernandez? This is convenient Patriots stuff. Sorry, we had no idea. Meantime, they are the most well-read, well-informed organization in sports. There is nobody that has more intel than the Patriots. How do I know? They tape everything. They have found every last piece of information and intel they could use on their players and other players to make decisions like, do we re-sign this guy? Do we trade this guy? How do we guard this guy? How do we game plan against this guy? How do we game plan against this coach? How do we game plan against this team? Belichick is a criminal mastermind. He's a brilliant mastermind when it comes to football intel. But Edelman has no idea how he tested positive and simply can't talk about it. Lying, which is what they do great. They do this unbelievably well. Sorry, I can't talk about it. No, you can talk about it. You're totally allowed to talk about it. You can say, I don't want to talk about it, and I could at least respect Edelman if he said this. You know what? I choose not to talk about it. This is in the past. Fine. Don't hide behind a lie. I'm not even here to tell you that he shouldn't be the Super Bowl MVP. I would just like an even playing field for everybody. Edelman can win an MVP despite being suspended in the same season he took steroids, took PEDs, took some type of performance-enhancing drug. He can win the Super Bowl MVP in the same year that he got suspended, but Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens will be lifelong pariahs because they are linked to steroids. Now, again, I think it's very obvious. I mean, hell, Barry Bonds admitted to taking PEDs, but he just said he didn't know they were PEDs. Took the cream of the clear, but I had no idea they were PEDs. I thought they were flaxseed oil. I mean, that's a lie. Those guys, though, are all-time greats, never to walk into Cooperstown, forever social pariahs because they took PEDs. Julian Edelman did. Super Bowl MVP. Two different sports. Rodney Harrison had HGH sent to him. He's on TV every week. Nobody ever talks about it. Antonio Gates, suspended for HGH. Probably one day going to the Hall of Fame. Barely anybody talks about it. Von Miller, suspended. PEDs. He was a Super Bowl MVP 3 years later. Maybe one day he goes to the Hall of Fame. Barely people talk about it. So this is a sport thing. But boy, must be nice for Julian Edelman to just be able to openly lie about it. Just openly lying. Sorry, I'm not allowed to talk about it. No, you are allowed to talk about it if you want. You just don't want to. Must be nice. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Kevin tweets, I'm getting concerned about Jody Mack. I heard him on the air trying to say the word how, and it came out with extra CHs and a K, plus a little dose of emphysema mixed in. Hashtag Mack attack. I did not hear Jody over the weekend. The wife and I were out of town. We went down to Florida to get out of the February darkness and bleakness and cold here in the Northeast. But if Jody Mack is no longer with us, I deserve to know.
Excuse me.
I deserve to know this. And you know, without Huge Freeze, there is a void now for another character to rise up and fill quite a big void here on the DA show. Jody could be that guy, but if he's no longer going to be with us, we need to know this type of stuff.
Excuse me.
Whoa. Wow. That sounded like the webbing that comes out of Spider-Man's wrist.
Excuse me.
Whoa. So, did anybody check on Jody yet today?
Reports haven't surfaced. I'll check the couch.
Now, if y'all want to party like we do. Dixie Landan tweets, do you believe the Alliance has staying power and will it stick around? And if so, in 5 years, will the AAF be bigger than the NBA? It's not going to be bigger than the NBA. No.
Don't pump the brakes.
No.
America loves football.
In 5 years, the Spring Football League is not going to overtake the NBA.
It overtook it in 1 week.
One day, opening weekend. No, it's not going to overtake the NBA.
You merge with the XFL, you got something on your hands here. Video games, t-shirt sales.
Why even bother merging with the XFL? How about just being your own thing?
Because why not? We want expansion. I want more teams after what I saw. Give me 16 teams. Expand the playoffs. Give me a red zone.
See, I think that's a little... That's running before you can walk, because I'm not sure there's enough talent out there to give us 16 spring football teams with good quality. I thought this league looked good because you only had to flesh out 8 rosters.
So we'll retract 2 of the NFL teams. Okay. That'll free up 106 more players.
Okay, so who do you want to contract?
Jaguars.
Okay, we're going to contract the Jaguars.
Get them out.
Okay.
Frankly, the Chargers. Nobody cares anyway.
Okay, so
get them out.
They just went 12-4.
Doesn't matter. Well, okay, better talent for the AAF then.
Okay, so you want to contract the Chargers and the Jaguars and disperse that talent amongst the Alliance.
Sure.
Okay.
Get him out.
Miles Jack would be great in this league.
Okay, here's a good question. Would Blake Bortles start in the Alliance?
He probably would.
He's better than Hackenberg.
Yeah, if Hackenberg's starting, Bortles would get the start for Memphis.
He doesn't start for Orlando.
Well, and see, that's the thing. His assigned team would technically be Orlando, but he's not better than Garrett Gilbert.
No.
Matter of fact, if I'm the Jaguars, I start rethinking this Nick Foles thing and start thinking, hey, maybe Garrett Gilbert's our guy. Work for Tommy Maddox.
You saw one game, and you are ready to put Garrett Gilbert starting quarterback of the Jaguars.
Heck, you put him in front of an NFL offensive line? He was throwing dimes.
He was. He looked good.
You know, we'll get to this in prime time. I mean, the way Jalen Marshall looked on the outside, Akeem Hunt running the rock, Garrett Gilbert's in control there. And as was pointed out on the broadcast, if you could play for Steve Spurrier and last the whole year, which is expected of Gilbert, there's going to be something for you. Gilbert's going to have an opportunity to fight for a job in an NFL camp in August, and that's going to be Orlando's loss. And maybe that's when Bortles slides in.
Hmm. Okay, so you could see Bortles being the starting quarterback of the Apollos in 2020.
Certainly on the table. I mean, he'd feel at home. Spectrum Stadium's where, you know, where he made his money.
All right, when we come back here on the show, we'll jump into your phone calls at 855-212-4CBS and discuss whether Bryce Harper should be taking a short-term deal from a team like the Giants. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
I want to do something bizarre and unattractive.
Throw me on the Today Show.
And see.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Success! 22 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. A little DA show in your life on a Monday morning, man. Remember, you can always listen to us on your phone by listening to us using the CBS Sports app, radio.com, Apple Music, or watching us at watchda.com. And if you're anywhere across the country and you're outside of your normal listening area for CBS Sports Radio, you can always get us on Sirius XM Channel 206. Again, Sirius XM Channel 206. Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, tune into CBS Sports Network for college hoops action with the top two teams of the Patriot League battling it out on the hard court. It's defending conference champion Bucknell hosting Lehigh on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
CBS Spectacular, yeah!
I was pausing there because I didn't know where we were going to go on that. Bilotti, we can. So this is CBS Sports Network promo. We can still use the throwback CBS jingle?
I think so. Anything that has CBS in it, I think we can.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure we're trying to drive Mraz insane still, even after football season.
That is correct.
Okay. Good. Todd is next up. He's in Connecticut listening on radio.com to CBS Sports Radio. And our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all. Geico.com. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning. I just want to start off by saying Mraz is fat.
Okay. Thanks for leading with that. Okay.
Well, we have to. I mean, it's necessary.
Yeah.
But, well, the other thing is, so I wanted to talk quick about sports medicine a little bit alongside of the, you know, what you're discussing with Edelman. Remember when John Lester was out for the Red Sox? He had leukemia or something, and he was taking steroids, right?
Right.
For his body.
Okay.
Also, I know somebody else that was sick recently, and they had to take steroids for their lungs. Now, I'm not defending Edelman. I'm just wondering what all goes into when a sports player is ill. Because we know leading up to this, Edelman had an ACL, MCL tear?
Right.
Was in recovery. And it was like after that he came up hot with some tests. So I don't even know what he came up hot with or whether they reveal that information. I'm just kind of interested in your insights on that because I'm not knowledgeable on, I just know like medicine's used, steroids are used.
Yeah, they didn't release what Julian Edelman tested positive for. Edelman has not, of course, released that either, so we don't know. My guess is when you're coming back from a serious illness like leukemia, something of that nature, and you're on steroids or hormones or whatever, my guess is you have to be eventually cleared to play and then have those things out of your system that they consider performance enhancers. And then once you're cleared to play, my guess is they've got to go through all the stuff that you were taking to get your health back and make sure that's out of your system before you are okay to play. That's my educated guess on this. I don't know. For Edelman, of course, yes, he's coming back from a serious injury. He's trying to come back quicker. He's trying to rehabilitate faster, and he's taking a PED to do so. The problem is that's illegal. And why is it fine in football for a guy to be on HGH or test positive and nobody holds that against him historically in terms of Hall of Fame stuff or winning major awards like Super Bowl MVP? Or in baseball, you are a pariah. I mean, Ryan Braun is still not accepted. Ryan Braun tested positive how long ago? I mean, this has got to be 5 or 6 years ago now, right? And he's still a league pariah. I mean, if you test positive in baseball, you are not even eligible for the playoffs. Not even eligible. Had this been baseball, Julian Edelman can't even play in the playoffs of the Super Bowl. Think that might have changed the New England Patriots' outcomes and fortunes? I mean, look, there has been about 1,000 coin flips in the Patriots' run here, and every single one of them have come up heads Patriots, except for the Tyree helmet catch. There's been about 1,000 coin flips, and 999 have gone the Patriots' way. And one of them is, in baseball, you test positive, you're not eligible for the playoffs. In football, you test positive, nobody even remembers you tested positive the same season, and that could be your Super Bowl MVP. The water for Bryce Harper to sign a long-term deal is tepid. It is lukewarm. In fact, it is cold. You know when you turn on the shower and it's that split between really hot and really cold? You're like, oh, I just touched the hot side. This is going to be hot. And you're like, oh, it's cold. It's not all the way hot yet. Or this hotel shower stinks. Or I'm at my grandma's house and this bathroom, everything's not working. That's what the water is out there for Bryce Harper. I wonder if Bryce Harper regrets turning down the 10-year, $300 million deal from the Washington Nationals last year. Because he and Boris thought they were going to get more than that. He and Boris were convinced 10 years, $300 million, that's a starting point. And I don't know, we don't know the official offers, but it smells like he hasn't gotten anything close to that in the offseason. Because I got to think, correct me if I'm wrong, Mraz, but if the Yankees gave him 10 years, $300, he's taking that, right?
Yeah, he would have took that a long time ago if they gave him 10, $300.
Like on the same day that the Nationals gave him the 10 for $300, if the Yankees gave him the same deal, which they couldn't have because he wasn't a free agent officially yet, I think Harper would have just said, cool, great, I'm a Yankee.
On day one of free agency, if he would have gotten 10 for $300 from the Nats and 10 for $298 from the Yankees, he would have taken the Yankee deal.
And my guess is if he has anything close to 10 years at $300 million right now, he would take it from anywhere. If the Phillies, the White Sox, I think if you got $300 million in front of you right now, I think he would take it.
Yeah, I think it's just down to you're either getting the big money or you're getting the long years, but you're not getting both.
Right. So I don't know who is right now offering him eight. I don't know if anybody's even going 10. Maybe the Nationals put the best offer out there and then realize, oh my God, that's not the market. Oh my God. I don't know. But if the Giants are jumping into this, that means they're looking at a two-year, a one, a two, a three-year deal. I don't think they're doing more than that. And if that's the case, then Harper's per year salary is probably higher than 30, but you're only going to get it for 1 or 2 years. I think if you're Bryce Harper, you take 2 years at $70 million. I think you do. And I think you have to start doing this the way that LeBron and Kevin Durant do it. 1 and 2 year deals. And just betting on being dominant every year. And say, okay, I'll keep making $35 million a year, every year. Maybe if I have a National League MVP season, maybe I'll get $40 million a year. But I'll start playing it that way. I think in baseball, it has always been long-term security, long-term money, long-term guarantee. LeBron changed everything by saying, I want to control where I play. I want to make sure that I have a chance to win. If you lock in for 10 years somewhere, there's no guarantee. I mean, look, Giancarlo Stanton signed a 13-year, 325 with the Marlins, and they were never competitive. Never. Had they not been able to unload that deal to the Yankees, he would have been playing for a miserable baseball team for 13 years because nobody would have wanted that contract. I think if you're Bryce Harper, it's time to change the math here. I think you go to Boris and you say, okay, let's change this. You throw out the bait. I'm willing to sign for $35 to $38 million a year for 1, 2, or 3 years. And then I want to reset and let's see, you know, if I have to keep doing that, fine. Okay, fine. But if I do that three different times and I get three different 2 or 3 year deals, I can make more than the $300 million that originally I passed up. It just didn't smell like anybody out there is willing to give him 6, 7, or 8 years. So become LeBron, become KD, and you have to become a mercenary. You can't
live and die with one team. You can't retire with one team, but fine, you'll make your money. And I kind of feel like Bryce Harper is a mercenary anyway. When we come back, historic day here on the DA Show. The first ever episode of Alliance Primetime. We've got all of the highlights of all four of the games over the weekend, and we set them to old school NFL primetime music. Bogus is your Chris Berman. Mraz is your Tom Jackson. I will play Bill Pito. It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Bogus has your headlines.
I just want to start off by saying Mraz is fat.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
I'm Jay Berman, halfway home at, excuse me.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That's one Berman. Jay, we're looking at the other one, Chris, because we have looked back at our nostalgia as football fans and said the way that Chris Berman and Tom Jackson did highlights way back when was the way that you really were supposed to do highlights. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder that the DA Show is available on many social media platforms. Check us out on Twitter, DA on CBS, on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. You can follow me on Instagram as well at Damon Amendo. And all of these places, you will see us tweeting and posting and discussing the Alliance of American Football. We're all football fans here on the DA Show, and it was really cool. There's also a wave of nostalgia that comes over us because of spring football, like the World League of American Football was, like the XFL tried to do for a season, like the USFL was for 3 years. We have spring football back. So we felt like here's a fun way to cover the league. Let's bring it back to the way that highlights were supposed to be done. Back before the internet, back before social media, back before everything had to be quick and on your phone.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Let's do the way that highlights were meant to be broadcast. Let's bring you a throwback version. Let's bring you the ghost of Chris Berman and the ghost of Tom Jackson. It's time for the first ever edition of Alliance Primetime.
The DA Show is dusting off the old tapes. We're doing highlights the way it used to be. It's Bogus. It's Mraz. It's DA. It's Alliance Primetime. And it starts now.
Woo! Week one is in the books. A good Monday morning. I'm Andrew Bogus alongside my mortal enemy, Sean Mraz. Week one in the AAF is done. You ready for this, TJ?
Andrew, let's go, baby. A great weekend of football. Can't wait to get into it.
One full week without football. The drought ended Saturday afternoon deep in the heart of Texas and in beautiful Central Florida. The AAF on the field for the first time. The fleet, the commanders, the legends, and the Apollos. So many firsts on Saturday. The first points from Atlanta kicker Younghoe Koo. Cuckoo ka-choo. And then the first near felonious assault from Sean Washington.
Bartovici never saw the man coming, and he is lit up. My goodness.
Could the league have asked for a better start, Andrew? You get Berkovich's head nearly taken off after a season in the NFL where all of that was a penalty, no flag on the play. Off and rolling we were in San Antonio.
Good news, bad news, though. Mike Berkovici in this fleet, he survived that hit to keep doing this.
Berkovici on 3rd and 20 to the end zone. It's intercepted. Orion Stewart on the pick, and he's still going.
The moment Washington signed Josh Johnson off the fleet roster, the number one pick in the quarterback draft, Mike Martz knew this position was going to be a problem. And right off the jump, you saw Berkovici couldn't stay on his feet, head on a swivel, literally, and threw two back-breaking interceptions.
The sack, the two picks, and then some offense from the Commanders.
The run play corner, and it is Farrell into the end zone for the San Antonio touchdown.
You'll be telling your grandkids this one day. Kenneth Mia Farrow scored the first touchdown in Commanders history. San Antonio beat San Diego 15-6 in front of almost 28,000 people.
Yeah, and the fans deserve that bogus. You know, sitting there on their feet all game long, not getting a touchdown till the fourth quarter. And truly the best part about this, the aerial attack by Logan Woodside in the pocket all game long. But it's the ground game that gets it done and gets the first touchdown. A balanced attack San Antonio has, and San Antonio does. They commanded that ball game.
Saturday's other game was in Orlando. The Apollos hosting the Legends. O-Town scored the first TD in Alliance history.
Gilbert end zone. Caught! Did he hang on? He did! No! Jalen Marshall had it.
He had it, Andrew Catalan. Don't worry. Replay got it right. Jalen Marshall making history. If we learn one thing, Shawnee, during opening weekend, it's that Orlando head coach Steve Spurrier watch Super Bowl L double strike.
On the reverse, Marshall throwing it back, and it's caught for the touchdown! The Orlando special!
And I tell you, what I loved about this call, most importantly, was that Steve Spurrier was not afraid to use Garrett Gilbert's strength. He had thrown the ball all over the yard all game long, getting all receivers involved, but he was stuffed on a fourth and one earlier in the game with his legs, but he comes back now and he's catching a pass. If you have that kind of versatility under center, Steve Spurrier is going to use it. Great effort out of Garrett Gilbert and jaw-dropping play with the Orlando special.
Offense, and then some Apollo's D as well.
First down. Oh, Sims is leveled.
There might be a reason to put him in that. Holy cow.
That was the biggest hit we've seen of the night.
Oh, check his spleen. Get that dude a radio or a TV career. Stat.
The old bull coach shows his team can play defense too. And I tell you, in a league we can only rush five, that offensive line for Atlanta was leaky all game long. And it's going to be a long year for Matt Sims and the Atlanta Legends offense.
The Legends had no chance. They lose in Orlando 46. Let's go to yesterday. Memphis in Birmingham. Christian Hackenberg saw Sims. He saw Bergovici. And he said, hold my drink.
What a play by Birmingham, and Summers is having some day here.
You know, and this really just brings me back to the point here. Did Mike Singletary not pay attention to training camp? You have Zach Mettenberger on this
roster.
They
had training camp?
Yes.
Okay.
They went through a month in San Antonio. You have Zach Mettenberger on this roster, bogus, and yet he comes out with Christian Hackenberg giving you that kind of effort. All the positive momentum built up by that league Saturday night was deflated because of just an ugly, brutal effort at quarterback by Christian Hackenberg. Three words, get him out.
It is three words. Jalen Summers had that pick, by the way. Now we go some offense. Fellow NFL washout Trent Richardson. Pumping iron?
They'll hand it off up the middle. Richardson and Trent Richardson is in the end zone for a Birmingham touchdown.
Shawnee wasn't done either.
Hands to Richardson up the middle. Richardson bumps it off a player and he's in for a Birmingham touchdown.
Tom Abraham on the Iron Radio Network.
You know, Richardson started this game ugly, had a fumble to start, and you started wondering, are we seeing the ghost of the Brandon Whedon Browns pass here with Trent Richardson? But oh no, he rebounded with not one but two touchdowns to get all the iron fans pumping. And I tell you, he didn't look fat or slow. Little resurrection in the career of Trent Richardson in front of those Alabama faithful.
So just like Pete at his first bachelor party, his first one, the Express didn't score yesterday. 26-0.
Got that right.
In Birmingham. Last but not least, the Hotshots hosting the Stallions. Arizona's on the board first.
Ball to the pass, man. Wide open in the end zone. Gerald Christian, first touchdown in Hotshots history.
You know, bogus, there was talk all week long leading into this. Would Rick Neuheisel unload a two-quarterback system with Trevor Knight and John Wolford? But yet, Wolford started this game and never allowed Knight that opportunity to come in. He seized the moment from the first quarter on, and that throw to Gerald Christian up into the end zone at the goal line exemplified that.
Yeah, it kept going. Wolford from Wake Forest doing things like this all day.
Looking into the corner of the end zone. That's caught, flag thrown. Didn't matter to Rashad Ross.
And why not one more?
Yeah,
the
sure.
Offense. Trying to make the Stallions shots, pay it. So far, shots. They do. My goodness. Jarrell Presley doing it on the ground and through the air.
Look, it's only 1 week in the AAF here, bogus, but I can tell you, if it's not going to be a quarterback that wins the MVP award, it will be Arizona Hotshots running back Jarrell Presley. Much like a Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott, he could do it through the air or through the ground. He rushed all over the place, and then to have a 30-yard catch and run as a touchdown pass from John Wolford said it all. The Hotshots are going to display this running attack all year long, but they could do it through the air, and that's why many believed preseason they were going to have the most balanced balanced offense, the most dangerous offense in the league. And right off the bat, Dennis Erickson and company didn't know what hit him in front of a packed house and in Tempe. Way to go, Arizona. And Jarrell Presley, keep an eye on this young man. He will turn heads.
And that hot shot logo is locked in. Best in the league, no doubt about that. It's a 38-22 win for the Hotshots over the Stallions last night, ending glorious weekend number one in the Alliance. So Shawnee's got Arizona for now above his power rankings. He's got Jarrell
Presley. Jarrell Presley.
Casey, what a sport does he play? Oh, actual football in the NFL.
Well, no, Jarrell Presley was in camp with Saquon Barkley in August.
I apologize to the Titans and to... And so all Jarrell's involved in this. So he's your early MVP favorite. Let's check in for all the news and notes from around the Alliance after 2 days of games. Here's DA.
Thank you, Andrew. Well, a couple of things that I picked up, talked to some of my sources around the Alliance. Number one, in Birmingham, it was a dreary day at the old Liberty Bowl, but there's some optimism going forward. If this league lasts until 2021, they will move into UAB's new stadium, only 55,000 people. They feel like that could really be a jumping off point for the organization. So if the league survives until 2021, very exciting optimism in Birmingham that the Iron would move into a really nice facility. Number two, Christian Hackenberg was an absolute disaster. And now there's some real rumblings I'm hearing from Memphis that Hackenberg could get the old hack, that he would end up losing his job to perhaps Zach Mettenberger. Also, he was mic'd up during these games. He cursed a lot. The league wasn't thrilled about that. I'm hearing from the league offices they didn't want kids hearing all the four-letter words Hackenberg was using. And so there will be some question marks going forward about if there needs to be a seven-second delay for Hackenberg quarterbacked games.
Ah, that's terrible.
A Hackenberg delay. It seems like he curses quite a bit. Also, Luis Perez, a quarterback of the Birmingham Iron, ended up going into bowling. He was an elite bowler, and he ended up putting all of his chips on the table for bowling, but he ended up coming back for this league, had a really good debut, and so now people are wondering, could he be the first Bo Jackson-esque player in the Alliance? Very good football player, also elite bowler.
I know baseball might have a Kyler Murray rule put in here for baseball football. Will football need a Luis Perez rule for bowling/football?
That has been talked about, Andrew.
Candle pin?
Right now what I'm hearing, it's a regular bowling.
Okay.
Full pin bowling. But what I'm hearing is they've thought about a Kyler Murray loophole where it would allow Luis to earn money on the side championship bowling-wise. Well, he also supplements his income. And then finally, in Orlando, you might have seen this. Steve Spurrier was limping around the sideline. Apparently, he had back surgery not long ago. There's been some talk around the league office. Do we need to get him a chair? You know, maybe he can just have a lawn chair on the sideline, call his plays sitting down, because he was gimpy getting around. The league wants to support an offensive genius like Spurrier. So you might see something akin to that thing that old people ride on up and down their stairs.
A little jazzy scooter?
Yeah,
about the Boogermobile, a snot rocket?
Ooh. A Rascal, a Boogermobile. All of this is being talked about in the league circles for Spurrier's bad back. Back to you, Andrew.
Well, this is it, guys. We waited for a long time. The build-up was worth it. Saturday and Sunday was fantastic. Could not have gone better.
Marais, what was your biggest football takeaways? I mean, actually, you watched every play of every game.
That there is a lot of talent at the wide receiver position, and that, frankly, we're going to see, I would say, 10 to 12 of these players will be making an impact in the NFL, on practice squads next year, mainly guys like Jarrell Presley. I think Garrett Gilbert ends up starting games in the NFL next year. And ultimately, I think this is going to be built on sustained success. Don't just focus on the TV ratings, of course, because they're not going to be on network TV the rest of the year. But yeah, football-wise, we got some good stuff happening. And I would say next week, if I could look ahead and take a peek ahead.
Sure, please.
Sunday afternoon, CBS Sports Network, we already get, I think, the best matchup of the year to date.
Uh-huh.
The San Antonio Commanders, whose defense was flying all over the field.
After four games, we have a best matchup to date.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Window four of games.
Yeah. Listen, that San Antonio crowd, now you only get five home games in this 10-game schedule. They're already going to play their second home game. Orlando's going to go into San Antonio, and I wonder how that Spurrier defense, offense, indoors, fast track, will play. play versus a Flying Commanders defense. So if you really want to find out about this league, if it's going to be defense or offenses that win these tussles, you're going to find out Sunday afternoon on CBS Sports Network. I'm really excited for this game. Obviously, the Commanders and the Apollos are going to highlight Week 2's action, which, you know, I think we're all thrilled for.
We really are. I will also say I'm really thrilled for Alliance Primetime because I feel like Bogish deserves a play-by-play slot in this league. I heard some of the guys. I thought Catalan and Danielson were the Madden and Summerall of the weekend, but I definitely feel like there is space for Bogish to improve the quality of the play-by-play on the broadcast, Mraz.
Well, listen, a lot of people have come from these studio shows such as these and ended up in the broadcast booth. Chris Collinsworth, obviously. Joe Buck did a little of the pregame stuff on Fox as well and kept doing the play-by-play. Yeah, there is room for that and room for growth, so I expect Andrew Bogish to end up there soon. But as long as he keeps this role, because yeah, this is the highest-rated show in the AAF primetime, as we all know, so we got to keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, I don't want to step down to the booth just yet.
So we're looking at him to maybe have a Greg Gumbel type of scent.
Exactly.
From the studio.
Heard that before.
I heard he's on Showtime tomorrow night and Inside the AAF as well. So Bogus is really broadening his horizon.
Supposed to be breaking news later, but okay, sure.
Wouldn't that be amazing if NFL Films did an Alliance film? How dramatic and how cool that would be?
Get their own Facenda? Oh, I got chills just thinking about it.
That was fun to hear that music.
Let's bring it back. Yeah, let's run it back next hour.
Alliance Primetime every Monday during the Alliance season. When we come back here on the DA Show, are the Knicks going to screw up signing Kevin Durant? They're already trying. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.